Romans 7 describes the Apostle Paul's personal battle against the pulls of the flesh. Discover how Paul won this war of the wills next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Now, when you turn to that way and turn away from your own way, you're no longer a sinner. And then if you ask God to forgive you, He'll hear you. Then if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, He'll come in and He'll live His life in you. But do you see why Jesus Christ can't come into your heart? He can't come into your life until you have forsaken your way, until you have forsaken your thoughts, until you've turned around willing to go the way of the Bible. I'll tell you why. Because if Jesus Christ comes into you and you're not saved, then He's not your Savior unless Christ is dwelling in you. And if Christ is dwelling in you, He will live the same kind of life in you that He lived on this earth 1900 years ago. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, if He is in you, and will be tomorrow and forever. Now, He is the living Word. He kept His Father's commandments. And if you don't forsake your ways, He can't. He has got to live your life for you, and you let Him live it. Like Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It was not Paul living his life, it was Christ living it for him. And Christ can't live your life for you as long as you're stubborn and rebellious, going your way, because His ways are not your ways, and you've got to forsake your ways and turn around and be willing to let Him live your life for you His way, which is the way of the Bible.
Is Jesus Christ living His life in you? That's Herbert Armstrong from many years ago, talking about a subject that you see quite often in the New Testament, Christ in you. And if He's in you, He's living His life the same way that He did 2,000 years ago. Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the program. We're glad that you could join us for today's study, and it is a study into the Word of God. So get your Bible and read along with me these scriptures that we go through. Romans 8:14, we'll come to it later in the program, but it shows us the approach that we take in this war that we're in. And it is a war. God says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have to be led by the Spirit. God won't force us along the right way. We've got to choose it. We have to want it. We have to desire it. We have to go after it. My father writes in this booklet, How to Be an Overcomer, and we'll offer this freely on today's show together with the book of Hebrews. I'll come to that in a second. But my father says in the War of the Wills chapter, he says, we must be led and empowered by the Spirit of God. And through God's inspiration, the human will must choose to follow that Holy Spirit. The human will plays a key role in our building of character because there would be no character without it. But we must be led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's what makes one a true Christian. If the Spirit of God is dwelling and working in you, Romans 8 brings this out. And we have to do our part. It's Christ in you. It's the Spirit leading us. But we have to fight. It's a war, just like this booklet brings out. Hebrews 12 speaks of Jesus Christ as the author and the finisher of our faith. And in verse 3 of that chapter, it says, for consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Verse 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. That's what Jesus did. He resisted unto blood. He fought and battled against sin. And so must we. You can see the Apostle Paul in this book of Hebrews. You can see what his mind was on in chapter 12, in Romans 7, the War of the Wills chapter. We'll look at that in just a second. Paul was a fighter, and obviously Jesus Christ was. The amplified version of that verse we just read, you have not yet struggled to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. Yes, the Bible teaching is that we have to strive against sin. We have to fight those pulls of the flesh. We have to fight against that carnal nature. We have to be an overcomer. That's what this booklet is about. We're offering this one today and also this one here, the book of Hebrews. If you haven't added these to your library yet, there's no cost or obligation. Just call our operators today and request how to be an overcomer and the book of Hebrews and learn more about the fight, your fight, our fight against sin. Here again is Herbert Armstrong from his Old World Tomorrow program, clip two.
You need to be changed. You need to start living by every word of God. You need to imbibe and drink in the Holy Spirit of God. You need to be in constant prayer with God, constant communion with Him, until there is a fellowship and you just drink in of His Spirit, until the very mind of Christ comes into you and into your mind, and you think like He thinks. You look at things like He does. Why, Isaiah told you how to be saved. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Because God's thoughts aren't like ours, or His ways like ours. You think His thoughts. You have His mind. You see things as God does. That isn't the way mortal people do. Things that God condemns and says are bad for us, because they're going to injure us, they're going to make our lives empty or miserable, unhappy, or bring on suffering.
That again is Herbert Armstrong, the late Herbert Armstrong. He died in 1986. And over the years, he had so much to say about sin and God's law, and overcoming sin, putting away sin. He was a fighter, Herbert Armstrong. And so was Paul, as I say. Let's look at Romans 7. It's a great study. And again, in the War of the Wills chapter of this book, it goes through it in detail. And it shows us how we claim victories in our fight against sin. Romans 7:14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." I am carnal. Paul was writing this many years into his conversion, and he's talking about a life in Christ where he's still fighting. He's still battling sin. He's still battling carnality. Verse 15, it says, "For that which I do, I allow not; for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I." I mean, this was an agonizing struggle, a clash of the wills. And you see Christ even, he went through his war of the wills, particularly at Gethsemane, where he prayed to the Father, "Not my will, but your will be done. I need help. I need power. I need to be led by the Spirit in order to submit to your will and not my own." Paul was going through that here. Verse 16, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me." Sin, there is a law of sin. There's the law of God that just explains or expounds upon God's lifestyle, His way of thinking, like you heard there in that clip. And then the way of sin, that's Satan's law. That's the way Satan lives. Verse 18 in the Revised Standard, it says, "For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it." There's just nothing good in me. Jesus Christ, He corrected the young man that called Him good master and said, "Why are you calling me good? The only good in this universe is God, God Himself, God's Spirit, God's power, God's law." And that's what Jesus Christ submitted to. That's what He lived. That's what He was led by. God's Spirit, God's law, it showed Him the way. In the War of the Wills chapter, it says, "Paul had human will to build godly character and to overcome, but even though his human will desired it, he couldn't do it. The human will cannot build spiritual character. It takes a miracle from God. It takes Christ in you. It takes being led by the Spirit. It's a spiritual dimension. It's a spiritual law that we're talking about. This is not some casual, shallow religion of just believe in your heart and everything's taken care of. Far from it. What we're talking about here is a religion of substance, character building, overcoming, conquering our carnal will. Verse 19, it says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Now, if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. The Christian life is one of constant overcoming. And again, Mr. Armstrong, he taught this all through his ministry because it's in the Bible. Verse 21, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present within me." I mean, Paul here was really shaken by this struggle, this battle, this fight. He was fighting against that built-in hostility to God's law. It talks about that in the next chapter, Romans 8, 7. Verse 22, it says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." I see this other law, this law of sin. It's fighting against God's way, God's lifestyle. It's going against the direction of God's spirit, God's thinking. Isaiah 55 says that our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Philippians 2:5 says we've got to let the mind of Christ in. We need another mind. This is what true conversion is all about. Developing that mind of God, living that way of Jesus Christ. Verse 24, again, this is Paul, many years into his conversion. He says here, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Does this sound like a man, an apostle, who just dismissed the example of Jesus Christ, or said that it didn't really matter, or that he was just like a robot going through the motions? Or is this someone that looked to Jesus Christ for deliverance, for leadership? Christ in you. It's through Jesus Christ that we can bring our fleshly pulls under control. Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Does Christ give you strength? Jesus himself said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Jesus Christ is the way out of this carnal, self-centered, dark, evil world. John 14 and verse 6. We've got to look to him. He is the way. We've got to follow his steps. 1 Peter 2 verse 21. When we come back, we'll go through what Mr. Armstrong called the sequel to this War of the Wills chapter in Romans 7. We'll be right back.
Celtic Throne is back on tour. This summer, 15 cities, 8 states, one unforgettable experience. Experience this revolutionary new show, an electrifying fusion of Irish dance, music, theatre and cinema. Experience the show audiences worldwide are raving about.
Absolutely fantastic.
I'm telling you that anybody that comes to see the show is going to be mesmerised.
I've seen the River Dance and the Lord of the Dance, and they were amazing. This blew me away. It was absolutely amazing. I'd watch it again now.
Absolutely marvellous. And I've been to see River Dance about 5 times, and this is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I love it.
It's thrilling, I think, is the best way to describe it. It stands at the side of Lord of the Dance and River Dance. It's equal partner.
Absolutely stunning. Absolutely incredible. Not in my wildest dream did I think that it could compare to the other shows, but it was amazing. Amazing.
My favourite show I've been to ever, and I've been to River Dance, Lord of the Dance, just my favourite. It was amazing.
It was amazing. Best experience ever.
Don't miss your opportunity to experience the trailblazing new Irish dance show capturing the hearts of audiences all over the world. Get show and ticket information at CelticThrone.com.
Just to lead into Romans chapter 8, there should be no chapter break there. That was added by men. But right at the end of chapter 7, as we read, it says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Christ is going to deliver us. That's the last verse in Romans 7. And then it continues right on into chapter 8. Here's what Herbert Armstrong said about that transition. It says, "That's why truly converted Christians sometimes actually do sin. They're like the Apostle Paul, as he describes himself in Romans 7. With his mind, he wanted to go the way of God's law, yet he found himself unable. Another law warred within him against the good resolutions of his mind." It says, but the sequel to Romans 7 is Romans 8, the Holy Spirit chapter. Who, Paul cried out, could save him from this body of death he struggled against in vain? The answer is God through his Holy Spirit. God through his Holy Spirit. We have to look at Romans 8 as the sequel chapter. It's through Christ. It's by the power of God's Spirit. Chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." The law of the Spirit sets us free. It's very similar to what the ancient Israelites encountered when God gave them all these instructions: do this, this, and this, and then when it's time to go, leave Egypt with a high hand. And they had to follow God. They had to follow the pillar cloud. We have to follow the Spirit. We have to be led by the Spirit. We have to come out of this world. Egypt was a type of this world for ancient Israel. God says in 2 Corinthians 6 and Revelation 18 and other places, come out from among them. Be separate from this world. God's Spirit shows us the way. God's law, the Holy Bible, it's like a lamp that lights up our paths. Verse 3, it says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Jesus Christ showed us the way. I mean, Christ's death is the greatest proof there is that God's law is valid, that God's law is alive. It's like a spiritual mirror, it says in James 1, I think it is. It shows us what we need to change and overcome, how we need to clean up our lives. Mr. Armstrong wrote in The Incredible Human Potential, "Converted people often are under heavier temptation than before conversion. Satan exerts more pull than before. They are striving against sin, striving to overcome, but they are not yet perfect." And he goes on to describe the way of a Christian. It's a constant battle, a striving against sin, he said, a seeking God in earnest prayer for help and spiritual power to overcome. It says, "And if they are diligent, they are constantly gaining ground. They are constantly growing in God's knowledge from the Bible. They're constantly rooting out wrong habits, driving themselves into right habits. They're constantly growing closer to God through Bible study and prayer. They're constantly growing in character toward perfection, even though not yet perfect." Growth. Just like Jesus talked about in John 15, we need constant pruning, correction, if there's going to be more growth. God really wants to see fruits. That's what glorifies God, when the fruits of His Spirit, that's what they are. In Galatians 5, it says the fruits of the Spirit. This is the Spirit we're being led by. Love and joy and peace and goodness and faith and temperance. All these fruits of God's character, God's nature coming forth in the way that we live. God in you. Christ in you. Verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. It really is about two different ways of life. Herbert Armstrong used to talk about the two trees in the Garden of Eden. The tree of life symbolized God's Holy Spirit. Adam and Eve could have been led by the Spirit had they taken from that tree. Instead, they rejected it. And they took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They went in the direction of Satan, Satan's philosophy, Satan's way of life. And this is his world. The whole world is deceived. Revelation 12, 9. Verse 6, it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. It's vain. It's nothing. It amounts to nothing. But to be spiritually minded, I mean, that leads to life and peace. That leads to God's kingdom, God's family. Again, notice the contrast. Verse 7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's hostile to God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's normal for the human mind, for man's attitude, to be hostile to God. Enmity against God. We resist. We fight against God's way of life. That's what comes natural. That's why we need to let the mind of Christ in. That's why we need another mind. We need God's thoughts. Verse 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We can't please God if we're just going about our lives, pursuing after fleshly things, carnal things. We can't please God. There's a deceitful, desperately wicked heart that we have to confront, that we have to, with God's help, root out of our thinking so that we can be led by the Spirit. Verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be, that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Christ in you. The next verse says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. This is a true Christian defined, one that's led by the Spirit of God. Christ in you. Jesus Christ lives in us by the power of God's Spirit. And as you heard in one of those clips, I mean, if he's living in you, he's living the same way he did when he walked this earth. And look at how he fought. He resisted even unto blood, fighting against sin. He showed us the way. He gave us a perfect example. Why won't more human beings follow that? Instead, they just talk about Christ and they say Jesus did everything for you and you don't have to do anything. That's not biblical. Verse 11, it says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. The Spirit makes us live. It leads to our resurrection in God's family. It leads to eternal life if we're led by it. Verse 13, it says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And then verse 14, which we mentioned earlier, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have to be led by the Spirit. So this passage, it reveals the approach that we take in our battle against sin, led by the Spirit. Mr. Armstrong wrote back in 1978, the resurrected Christ was perfect. He was very God, but he did not grow up into perfection after he was resurrected. It was during his human lifetime, setting us the example that he was made perfect, as you read in Hebrews 2:10 and Hebrews 5:8 and 9. Thus, it is plain that we must develop spiritual character, growing to spiritual adulthood during this life, not after our resurrection in glory. We can't put it off and say, well, I'll get around to building godly character later. We've got to do it now. We've got to be led by the Spirit now. Notice verse 15, it says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. It should read, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God is reproducing himself. God is building a family. You see that in Genesis 1, verse 26. Verse 16, it says, the Spirit, God's Spirit, bears witness with our spirit, the human spirit, Zechariah 12:1, the mind power. There's a spiritual component to the human brain that allows us to think and to reason, unlike the animals. God gave us that. He equipped us with that. And he gave it to us so that it could join with his Holy Spirit. That's what this is talking about. It says, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. This passage makes me think of the incredible human potential. I should have brought that up to the table and offered that as well. And we can add it. We can add it to your library. If you want to study more into the subject of true conversion and what it means to be led by the Spirit, incredible human potential. Don't forget How to Be an Overcomer, or the book of Hebrews as well. That's all that we have time for on today's show. We thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request How to Be an Overcomer and the book of Hebrews. Order now